Well, it's the day before Halloween, but Matt, I have to say, I'm going to be wearing this out trick-or-treating tomorrow night with my son. And I love it. It glows in the dark. I don't want to scare any kids.
Yeah.
But that's what I got.
I like it. I like that you are committing to the holiday. I am just going to be walking next to my daughter in probably a hoodie. So I don't have a costume. I don't have a matching costume, anything like that. I'm just going to kind of lean into, hey, she's the cute one. Give her candy.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm just going to hang out in the background.
But we all know she's not old enough to eat that candy yet. So who's eating that candy, pal?
Definitely my wife and I.
Uh-huh. Yeah, mm-hmm. No doubt about it. All right. Listen, it's always game day in Buffalo. Thanks for tuning in. Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove. And of course, we're on audio wherever you pod, iTunes, WGR, Sports Radio 550, the Odyssey app, wherever you pod. And then, of course, we're on video at Sal Sports on the YouTube channel as well. And it's Miami week. We know what that means here in Buffalo. So we got a lot to get to, and we're not going to waste any time. We're going to bring in Alan Poupart of SI, who writes for the Miami Dolphins. He joins us now on the podcast, and we really appreciate that. Alan, I've been on your show. You've been on my show. I know it's the first time you've gotten a chance to talk to Matt, but we really appreciate you taking some time out.
Absolutely. And if I put on any costume tomorrow night, I'm going to be a wiener. hot dog costume.
I love it. Well, listen, Alan, I have been saying on the radio this week, people have asked me about this game and the Dolphins side of things. And my response generally is, I think their season's on the line. I really do. I mean, mathematically, is it? Of course not. There is a path to the playoffs still, but it feels to me like if they don't come to Buffalo and get the upset, things could get really kind of spiral out, down, you know, out of control for the wrong reasons this year. Is that a good way to put it or no?
No, without question. I despise the term must win game.
Yep.
Because to me, it's must win. If you lose, you're mathematically eliminated. Otherwise, it's not really must win. This is as close. This is an ust win. You know, just we'll see about the M. Especially with the trade deadline coming up on Tuesday, because if the Dolphins go to 2-6, then I could see certain players maybe being dangled, even if it's just for a late round pick. For example, Calais Campbell, do the Dolphins want to do him a solid in this possibly his last season? He's playing fabulous. Would they want to do him a solid and trade him to a contender? Because at 2-6, you're not really a contender. Whereas 3-5 in this muddled AFC, beyond the few top teams, there's life, especially if you're coming off a big upset win at Buffalo, which is an entirely different story in itself.
Is it as simple as that because of the Tua injury, they're not a good team? Or is this team just fundamentally flawed across the board and Tua getting hurt made it even worse?
They are fundamentally flawed if we're talking Super Bowl contention. I think the Dolphins maybe fooled themselves into thinking we're this close because they were 11-4 at one point last year. And then they played at Baltimore, at Buffalo. No, sorry, at Baltimore versus Buffalo to end the season. Got spanked by the Ravens. Got beat by the Bills, even though the score was only 21-14. The Bills had a pretty significant advantage in yardage. And then they got completely handled in the playoffs. But I think they fooled themselves into thinking, well, we had a lot of injuries down the stretch. At Kansas City, it was insanely cold. So if we avoid the injuries and we can win the home, get a home game, maybe we can become that team. And I think maybe they thought they were better than they were. And what they did with the backup quarterback, and that applies to the backup quarterback position, and their failure to upgrade that spot in the offseason, it's borderline criminal for a team that thought of itself as a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I want to look big picture too, because the other thing I'm getting out of Miami from, you know, people like you and other people that cover the team is, look, if not now, when, right? This was supposed to be the year you got to within maybe two quarters of winning the division last year against the Buffalo Bills. They get the punt return. And it was, okay, we're there now. After 4 years of winning the division for the Bills, it's time for us to finally take that step and pass this team, at the very least, be right there again. And it feels like the chasm is getting wider, and there might not be a path to really get there after this year based on what the roster looks like and the salary cap. Does that put more urgency on this?
It does, but here's the thing, is that I wouldn't expect necessarily drastic changes in terms of the foundation of the team.
Right.
Because the Dolphins went heavy in the offseason on extensions with Tyreek, Tua, Jalen Waddle, Jalen Ramsey, Mike McDaniel, with the exception of Ramsey, who's a defensive player. That's your core offense, which is why some folks would think Mike McDaniel's job could be in jeopardy if the season continues to go south. These kind of a package deal with Tua. He's the one who's got the most out of Tua. Very hard for me to believe that they're going to let go Mike McDaniel when they're tied to Tua for at least in a couple of years because of the contract they gave him. So I
didn't they also give McDaniel an extension recently?
No, they did. I mentioned that as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I didn't, my bad. And in the case of Ramsey and McDaniel, it was with 2 years left on their contract, and with Tyreek Hill, with 2 years left on their contract. And of course, the argument could have been made like, what have you accomplished to be throwing out extensions like that all over the. So I don't know that the Dolphins can go in a vastly different direction, even if it continues to go south. And if they can somehow, let's say they go, I don't know, 7-10 or 8-9. You can bet they're going to point at see, well, if we didn't have those four games without Tua, who knows where the season would have gone.
I know that there's still half of the season left. They could come into Buffalo and get a win and figure things out. But who deserves the blame at this point, at the halfway point? Is it simply, well, Tua got hurt? Is it Greer? Is it McDaniel? Is it a little bit of everybody? Like, is there one person who can kind of this fall on?
Yeah, that's a tough one. The Dolphins operate, they don't have a strong general manager in terms of this is the guy who calls the shot. I will get you the player's coach and you coach them. They don't have a coach who's the strong guy who says, get me the players I want. What they would talk about is they want to do everything in collaboration. Kind of get the feeling, I don't know this for a fact, but my very, very strong suspicion is Mike McDaniel convinced Chris Greer, I can make it work. We have Skylar Thompson and Mike White. They're going to battle it out for the number two spot. I'll make it work with whoever winds up getting the job done or winning the battle in training camp. They wound up picking Skylar Thompson. He's had only one start in his defense. It was against Seattle in week 3. Got injured, left the game in the third quarter, and when he was in the lineup, he looked out of place, like he was overwhelmed, which was the most disheartening thing of all. It wasn't that he was missing throws. He looked like he was overwhelmed, like the moment was too big for him. And immediately it's like, and then after he gets hurt, then they have to go fetch Tyler Huntley from the Baltimore Ravens practice squad. And Taylor Huntley, you guys know, is a running quarterback coming to an offense that's predicated on the quick passing game with the timing and all that. Didn't work. So I'm going to sign who deserves the blame for the failure to address the backup quarterback situation. The answer is yes.
Alan Poupart joining us. He is the publisher of Miami Dolphins on SI, host of the All Dolphins podcast. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Poupart NFL. All right. What is this team doing well, though? We talk about all these negatives and the record's not where you want it. Is there anything that Dolphins fans can point to and say, you know what, this has been okay for this team this year?
Well, the last 3 weeks, they've run the ball very, very well.
Okay.
I don't know the exact numbers, but it was a 195, I think, against New England in week 5, came back against the Colts, 188, and even against Arizona, it was 150 on the nose. So they're doing that very well. The defense has been good for the most part, except it hasn't been clutch. You saw that against the Bills in week 2, and then by that I mean Dolphins get stuff on 4th-and-1, like near midfield, the next play, boom, James Cook goes 49 yards for a touchdown. Yep. That's like not responding to adversity. Sunday against the Cardinals, the offense played pretty well the entire game, up 27-18. You give up a touchdown. Now it's 27-25. The Dolphins have the ball. They have to punt it away. They can't kill the clock. And then the defense is asked to rise up, doesn't do it. Cardinals march down the field, lose the game. So it's not, the defense has been good, but not clutch, because I think in terms of total yards allowed, I know heading into the game against Arizona, they were 4th overall. Now I think, I don't know, I haven't checked this week, probably 6th or 7th, which is still good. But that's been an issue. They also don't get takeaways. They don't get sacks. They have 9 sacks, 3 takeaways.
Right.
But the running game's been very, very good. The passing game's been brutal, except for an 80-yard pass to Tyreek Hill and a 63-yard pass to Jalen Waddle in the opener.
How's Poyer look?
A great intangibles, great leader. Gritty, not great. He's also dealt with some injuries. He's had a shin injury, missed a couple of games, but he was beaten in coverage Sunday against Arizona on the final drive. He had man-to-man coverage against tight end Trey McBride on a 3rd-and-1. and McBride was open by like 5 yards. I mean,
it just sounds like the reason why he's not in Buffalo anymore, to be quite honest. Everything you just said is,
yeah,
we love the guy here. All the intangibles, leader. I mean, it's what you want. But the fact is, he's gotten older, and it's taken a toll on his body, and you can see it.
Correct. Yeah. He likes to speak to cover in the back end.
I mean, I want to ask about injuries. Let me put this up here. If you can see it on your screen there, 16 names on the injury report. Now, 4 of those were rest days, but 6 are actually dealing with injuries who did not practice. Some notable names on that list. What are we thinking about guys like, I guess you'd say, Sealer and his eye injury, which is just awful, by the way. And the other one,
Javon Holland.
That's the one. Thank you. Yes.
I wrote about this on the website, MiamiDolphinsMSI.com, today, that if you read between the lines of what Mike McDaniel said before practice, they're both going to give it a shot, doing everything they can. If you were to ask me right now, I'd say it's certainly on the lesser side of 50-50 that either of those play. And Sealer's a huge loss, because through the first 7 games of the season, he'd be a leading candidate for team MVP, along with the aforementioned Calais Campbell. Yeah. I'm not even sure if I mentioned before, or if I hadn't mentioned him, there we go. And Javon Holland is like, he's broke a bone in a hand, came back last week, sustained a knee injury in the first half, didn't come back. Not looking promising, which puts Poyer and Marcus May, another veteran, at safety for this game.
I often get criticized by the people who listen to our podcast because I have, I guess, fallen for the Dolphins too many times. I always think that they're just on the verge of getting it figured out. They're a really dangerous offense, and I always probably give them a little bit too much credit. And this dates back to the last several years. But I once again kind of feel that way. Going into this game, I'm like, I don't like the spot for the Bills, because I do think that Miami has to win this game. If they are going to win this game, how do they do it? How do they pull it off?
Well, I think it's got to be the running game. And if you look back to the Saturday night game in 2022, Raheem Mostert broke off, I think it was 67 yards, like pretty early in the game. They rushed for 180 yards, and it was a 29-29 game, 6 minutes left. The Dolphins had the ball, past midfield. They couldn't finish the drive. They had to punt. Josh Allen drives them down, and they lose. I think that's the ticket to victory more so than it would be the passing game, because the Bills certainly have solved – Tyreek Hill beating teams over the top. His numbers against the Bills are really poor, other than one game in the playoffs when he was with the Chiefs, but with the Dolphins just hasn't been there. So they seemingly have found a solution to contain him. And not only would that help the Dolphins offensively, it would help them defensively, because without Sealer and Holland, and let's not forget the two guys who were their stud pass rushers last year, Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips, are not on the roster right now. Mm-hmm. Phillips is out for the year. Bradley Chubb is still on PUP. He may or may not return in 2024. So right now they're getting no pass rush, and that's part of it. So the defense is in for a tough day. If they can run the ball, control the clock, that's going to help them that way. So to me, any path to victory has to focus center on the running game.
And we know the numbers Josh Allen's had against the Miami Dolphins, right? I mean, we all know it's incredible. And, you know, to keep him off the field obviously would be a benefit. And the Bills haven't been great at stopping the run. The last couple of weeks, they've been much better, but they are still near the bottom of the league in yards per play. I think that's about it from me. And Matt, you got anything else for Allen before we let him go?
Can they figure this out? Like, do they have a, let's say they win on Sunday, I know hypothetically, do they got enough juice that they can get to a playoff spot, or are they in too big of a hole?
I mean, obviously, it's not likely. I mean, if you look at the playoff predictors, wherever you find them, it's the numbers are like 1.3% or something to that effect. It's not if everything is functioning right, it's not a terrible team. They're certainly a lot better than they played. And the offense showed signs of functionality and potentially being explosive last week with Tua quarterback. The margin for error is microscopic. Yeah. I certainly wouldn't hold my breath they're going to make the playoffs. Is it impossible? No. Likely, no, especially since they haven't won in Buffalo since 2016.
Well, the Bills were – the Dolphins had a 3-game lead on the Bills with 5 to play last year, and the Bills caught them. So anything can happen. It is football, right? Allen, thank you so much. Thanks for your time. We kept even longer than we anticipated, so appreciate you coming on. And, you know, obviously, enjoy the rest of this season. Who knows? Maybe we'll talk again in the future.
Yes, well, let's talk before they meet in the playoffs.
There you go. Exactly right. Thanks a lot, Alan. Happy Halloween to you.
Thanks, Alan.
Right back at you guys. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you. That is Alan Poupart of SI, and he is the